We're jumping on into this series of firm foundations. Everything built that lasts, that remains, has a firm foundation. What is your life built on? What is your belief system built on? What are your morals, your values, your principles of life built upon? Hopefully, upon the Word of God and the truth of it. Hopefully, that's your starting piece of the mortar. And we've been referring to it as though building a foundation for a home or a house. It has this concrete mix that goes together. And it has some rock and some gravel and some cement, and then you add some water. But if we don't have anything to shape it and form it, we're in bad shape. Like, just it turns into a pile of hardness on the ground. It doesn't support anything well, and it's hard to work with because it's not level and it's not plumb. It's difficult, it's ugly, it's messy. But what we do when we're building a home is we set up these forms that tell the concrete where to flow and where to go and where to go level and where to go plumb and where to take turns. And it shapes it and forms it. We've talked about first week partnering with God. Part of our foundation we have to know that God invites us to a partnership with Him in this wonderful life we get to live. God invites us to that. We have to know that we are partners working with God for God. We are not God, but we work alongside of Him. He invites us into that, which is a privilege and an honor. And then we talked about the rock. We have to have solid rock in our foundation, the rock being Jesus Christ. If we're not building on the rock, we're wasting our time. If we don't have rock in our mortar, it chips and tears and deteriorates easily. And then we moved on into the Word of God, the truth. If you don't have truth in the mortar of your life, then you're given to whichever way the wind is blowing, whatever tickles your ears, and you have nothing to go back to and say, well, I think this is, but let's go look and make sure truth is guiding our lives. Today, we're going to look at the forms. What holds it in place? The Holy Spirit, our counsel and our guide. Otherwise, we just have chaos and everything's running everywhere. And since the foundations of the earth started in chaos, and then it began to take shape and form into creation. As we jump into Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, way back when. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God was there in the beginning when it was all just formless, shapeless matter, chaos. It wasn't bringing life. It wasn't creation yet. It was just matter. But then the Spirit of God gets involved. The Word of God gets involved. And they begin to, day one, create. Until we get to day seven, and He rests. The Holy Spirit, since the foundation of the earth, was involved in the process. I hope the Holy Spirit is involved in your process, in your decisions, and what you're doing with your life. I love the Holy Spirit. Gives me guidance, direction, and counsel when I'm at the end of my wisdom, at the end of my knowledge, when I come up against a hard place and I don't know what to do, I have a resource. I can say, Holy Spirit, I need direction here. Holy Spirit, I need answers here. At one point, Kathleen and I were looking for a house to buy. And in God's word, He says, when you request of me, be specific. So we said, okay, Lord, here's what we would like in a home. And we made a list of, I don't know, 15 things probably, maybe 20. Like, we would like this, and we would like this down to, like, we want a propane cook stove, and we want a propane fireplace, and we'd like to have a brick surround, and we'd like to have a view from the house, and we'd like to have a corner lot, and, I mean, pretty specific of details of what we want, and how many bedrooms and bathrooms, and all these details. And as we began shopping for the house, there were many houses that became available. I mean, the market was flooded with them at that time. There were lots that almost fit the bill that were pretty close. They were like 80%, 70%. They have, you know, most things. We could live with this. But we kept seeking, saying, no, we asked God for this. And that hasn't arrived yet. And there was finally, we had looked at the market. We had got a realtor to work with us and was finding all these properties for us to look at. And we could have settled for what was in our budget and what would this would work. And we could have took the settle and said, yeah, okay. But we didn't, because we kept feeling the Holy Spirit say, no, no, no. And so we kept looking and pursuing, and there's finally, there's nothing on the market in our budget that fit the list of details that we had. And it's like, well, what? God, we're standing on the truth of your word. We're standing on your promises. What do we do? And then out of nowhere, this guy that works with my dad says, hey, we're thinking about selling our house. So without going through a realtor then, we find the perfect home. We're able to purchase it at the perfect price. And there were lots of miracles that happened in that whole thing. But because we were waiting upon the Holy Spirit and not just going through with, well, this looks close enough. This will do, I guess. But not settling for less, but waiting for more and in God's time and not our own. This is what happens when you add the Holy Spirit to your situation. And now we've got the perfect little home and the perfect little spot that we love and enjoy. And I don't know, we might grow old and die there. If that's God's plan, we're good with that. If he has something better for us, we're good with that too. If he has something less for us, we're good with that too. Right? Okay. Had to check. But being content with where God has you, knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit that says, yes, you're in the right spot, doesn't mean it's an easy spot. Doesn't mean it's a comfortable spot. But it means it's the right spot. I don't think Jesus, the day he left the Garden of Gethsemane and headed to the cross, was thinking, this is a good spot. I like it. The view's great from up top the cross. No, I don't think so. It was anguish and pain and suffering, but it was the perfect spot that he was supposed to be in that moment. Just because the Holy Spirit brings form and shape to your life doesn't mean it's easy, but it means it's solid. It means it's true. It means you can trust it. And no matter what's built upon it, it's going to stand. And when the storms of life come, it's going to stay true. John 16, verse 7, we're going to learn a little bit about the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit brings order out of chaos. John 16, verse 7. Do you ever feel like you have chaos going on in your life? Yeah. Many times, I'll raise both my hands, 1 foot. The Holy Spirit can bring order out of chaos. He's been doing it since the foundations of the earth. He brings order in chaos. John chapter 16, verse 7. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Of course, this is Jesus talking with his disciples in this moment. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. He says, I've got to go. Now we know, we just read the Holy Spirit's been there since the beginning. And we looked 2 weeks ago, Jesus has been there since the beginning. The Word was with God and was God. Remember that verse, John 1:1? Okay. So we know God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit were all from the beginning together as one. And there's different dispensations. Early on, God himself interacted with his people. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. The children of Israel, he came as a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire, a burning bush. Many different forms. That was the dispensation of God walking with his people. Then we come down to baby Jesus being born and the dispensation of Jesus here on earth walking with us. But Jesus, taking on human form, could not be in multiple places at one time. He could be where he was in that moment. And then he gets to this point and says, I'm going to go so the Holy Spirit can come. Because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere all at once. And that's this enjoyable place we get to live and walk and experience. I hope you're inviting the Holy Spirit into your chaos. Anybody raise kids? Anybody have family? Anybody have relationships? If you answered yes to any of those, you have experienced chaos. Good news is the Holy Spirit can bring order to that chaos. He can make all things good. I love that Jesus didn't just kick us to the curb. We're going to jump back a little bit into John 14, verse 15 through 27. Oops, 31, excuse me. So it's a pretty big passage, but this is Jesus promising the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to pick out a few pieces of it. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live in you, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. This is a giant passage about the Holy Spirit. I got tired reading it. Now we have to process it and understand it. There's so much to learn about the Holy Spirit, so much relationship to grow and develop and enjoy. But a few highlights from this passage. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Those who keep my commandments are in me, and my spirit is in them. What do you do if you love Jesus? You obey him. You keep his commands. He says he's going to send us this advocate, the Holy Spirit. That's good news. Have you ever been stranded somewhere and somebody shows up and says, well, too bad for you. See you later. Anybody ever experienced that? No, usually they say, well, I'll go for help. generally speaking, at least in this part of the world, I'll go get help. And you know someone's coming back to you. This is what Jesus does. He goes, I know you guys are living in chaos. I know the world can be tough. I know it can be difficult. But I'm going to go and send back help. I'm going to send the advocate on your behalf. He promises to not leave us as orphans. He commands us to obey his teachings and reminds us that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach us and remind us of his teachings. We don't have to go alone. We don't have to do it by ourselves. But we can ask of the Holy Spirit, remind me of what I've heard. Remind me of your word. Remind me of your truths, of what you say to do in this situation. As Jesus was leaving, he says, peace be with you. I want my peace to be upon you. Don't fear. Why don't fear? Because he tells us the prince of this world is coming. The prince of this world being Satan. He warns us time and time again, there is somebody who stands against you. But take courage, have no fear. I have overcome him. You will face hardships. You will face hard decisions. You will come up against chaos. But Jesus Christ promises not to leave us, but rather to send us help in the form of the Holy Spirit. Satan has no hold over Christ Jesus or us when we are following him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 talks about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? This is God's temple. How are we treating it? Do you take care of God's temple? We've just been reading in our daily Bible reading, not the bookmarker plan, but our own plan besides that that we're reading together. And we're in the book of Leviticus. And, you know, it's talking about the temple and the construction of the temple and all the do's and don'ts and everything organized in its perfect order and perfect place and what you can and can't do. And it's like, whew, and this is supposed to be the temple. Am I taking that much care of God's temple as he instructed the Israelites in the desert? What am I doing with God's temple? It made me stop and reflect and think. Ooh. And we don't have that same list of rules and guidelines. But still, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What am I connecting the Holy Spirit to? What am I engaging the Holy Spirit with? Am I taking care of it well? Because God is always trying to get us to be in his presence, inviting us into his presence. But the deal with the Old Testament temple was it was the Holy of Holies because God was so holy that nothing unclean or unholy could come into his presence and live. But am I living a life that is holy and worthy and pleasing to God to where I can enter into his presence? Because he longs to have us in his presence. He invites us into his presence. But we have to live a life that's worthy of being in his presence. Holiness doesn't get us into heaven. Holiness gets us into his presence. To sit at the feet of the Father. To experience the outpouring of his love and grace like we can't when we're outside of it. John 7 says, verse 37 and 38. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, Rivers of living water will flow from within them. First of all, it's an invitation once again to come and drink. Anyone who's thirsty, come and drink. We're invited to the Holy Spirit. And what happens when he indwells within us? Rivers of living water are coming out of us. Do you speak life to those around you? Or do you speak negativity? Do you speak doubt? Do you speak discouragement? Do you speak dissension? Do you speak discord? Because being infilled with the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to speak life. Life-giving water should be flowing out of us. The truth of God's word should be flowing out of us. When we enter into a situation, we should bring life and not death. We should build and edify and strengthen and encourage wherever we're at, with our words, with our actions. Give life, speak life wherever you go. And it's not of your own, but of the Holy Spirit residing in you, flowing out. Matthew 3:11. This is John speaking here. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. We do water baptism. Jesus does Holy Spirit baptism. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 24:46-49. He told them, being Jesus, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Again, Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit, I'm going, but I'm sending him. He says, I have this ministry I want you to go and do, but don't head out and begin it until you receive power from the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life. He says, wait. Sometimes we get all the parts and pieces, and we don't have the forms yet, and we just take off. Anybody ever do that? Just start too early, make a mess? I'll admit it. Sometimes we get a word from the Lord for someone. And it could be an accurate word. It can be the right word, but it has to also be a timely word. It has to be given in the right time, in the right setting. And sometimes we get so excited by it, we just go deliver it, and in that moment, it wasn't good. I had a word delivered to me in November that was given to a man in early August. And I was supposed to meet him in early August, but through providential forest fire, I wasn't able to meet him. And we didn't get to meet until November. But the word he gave me in November wouldn't have had near the effect in August that it did in November. He had to keep that word and hold that word and carry that word. And he could have called me on the phone and gave it to me, could have emailed me, could have whatever, whatever. But just because God gives you a word to give to someone doesn't mean right now is the time to deliver it. Hold it, steward it well. Lord, when is that time? Walking in obedience. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes and puts the forms in and goes, okay, we need the concrete to flow like this. We need it to go like this. The right word spoken in the right moment. Obedience to the Father. Otherwise, we just create more chaos. Anybody ever done that? Yeah? I've done it a time or two or a lot more. I thank God for his grace, for his mercy, for his compassion, because I need it daily. Sometimes it is a right now word. The Holy Spirit saying, Arby, you need to go talk to that person right now. Like, time is of the essence. And I've had those moments also where, like, it was today, in this minute, in this moment, right now, has to be done. Drop everything you're doing and go do it. And there have been other times where it's been months or weeks or years that you have to hold it and steward it and wait. And then the Lord will say, now's the time. Don't go out early. Wait to receive instruction from the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. Mark chapter 16, 15 through 18. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, on sick people, and they will get well. Signs of the Holy Spirit living within us. How cool is that? Maybe you have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have not. With the evidence of speaking in tongues or laying hands on sick and seeing them healed and well. I haven't done the whole snake thing yet. I really don't like snakes. I'm like, God, why'd you have to put that in there? That one baffles me, but you look at Paul getting bit by the viper, which he should have got really sick or died, and he just shakes it off in the fire and goes back to work. That's a real sign, and if that's what it takes, then you know, I'll deal with the snake, but I really don't like them. I don't. That's one verse that always creeps me out. Like, can I like speak in tongues instead of the whole snake thing, God? So I thank God I can speak in tongues and not get bit by snakes. You know, leave that for other people. I prefer to pray for people and watch them be healed of their illnesses and what pains them. At the end of the service, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward and get prayed for with the prayer team. You know, maybe you're somebody that's like, I don't know anything about this Holy Spirit, but it sounds pretty cool. And like, I want to receive that baptism. I want to receive what he has for me. I want to lay my hands on sick people and pray for them and watch them be healed and restored. I want to see miracles happen. Maybe that would be you today. And you're like, I want to come forward and get prayer for that. I promise you, the prayer team would love to pray with you regarding the Holy Spirit. Before we close, I was supposed to start with this. I forgot, and then I see it sitting here. It's what I was supposed to end with last week. Obviously, the Holy Spirit had a different plan today. We had some declarations from the Word of God from last week. How do you declare the Word of God over your life? It's really simple. It's really easy. Just using a Bible verse, speak it over yourself. It's nothing super difficult. So last week in one of my devotionals, this was 24 declarations over your life for the 2024 year. And I wanted to share them with you. The Word of God is my standard. That's a declaration. And of course, each of these have a Bible passage or multiple passages that they could tie to. But I am glistening with hope and expectancy for my future. I anticipate the miraculous. With God, all things are possible. Revival is coming to my city. My prayers are powerful and effective. I am victorious in battle. God's kingdom is advancing through me. I am blessed and highly favored. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. We just read those passages. Scripture is truth. I elevate my experience to the truth of Scripture. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The facts of my experience are not necessarily true according to the truth of Scripture. Freedom is here. I am an overcomer. My forward movement in life causes red seas to part. I am brave and run at my Goliaths. God is for me. Who can be against me? I am supernatural. I am walking in triumph. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My life is leaving a legacy for generations to come. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I am being conformed to the image of God's Son. Those are some powerful declarations to make. And some of them sound pretty bold. It'll take a lot of faith to stand on. But some of the chaos you're going to face in life is pretty bold. And you can either be torn down and destroyed by the chaos around you, or you can stand in faith on the Word of God and declare. And sometimes you might have to stand and stand again and stand again and stand again. And it might be 20 years down the road until you see the fulfillment. It might be a lifetime. It might be tomorrow. Might be when you come forward for prayer today. The expectancy is, I don't know where it's going to land, but I know that if we don't stand on the Word of God and His promises, if that's not our foundation, we will fall when trials and tribulations hit, when situations and circumstances get hard, when the facts of life get real, though they don't line up with the truth of God's Word. We will fall to the facts instead of stand on the truth. Building a firm foundation is not easy. Building houses, I always loved it. Concrete work was hard, it was fast, it was furious. And like when you get done, it's so beautiful. Seeing a freshly poured slab, just smooth as glass. And when it rains, it doesn't have any puddles in it or lakes or ponds. That was always very rewarding. Like, we did good work. It's level. It's square. It's plumb. It's true. We can build on this and not have issues. Our spiritual lives, it's hard work to build a firm foundation. It's hard work when you're facing facts of life that in life are facts, but according to God's word are not true. It takes endurance. It takes perseverance to stand on those facts. Next piece of our foundation we're going to look at next week is prayer. It takes a lot of prayer, a lot of communication with God to have a firm foundation. I'm going to close in a word of prayer on that note. And we're going to invite the prayer team forward. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for your word and the truth in it. God, we thank you that we can call on you, that we can come to you, God, with our requests, with our prayers, with our needs. And God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, God, who gives us guidance and counsel and direction, God. God, that we can call on you for any need. God, any situation, and you respond, you answer. And Father, we just thank you, God, for, God, your love towards us. God, that you are always preparing a way, God, for us to make it back into your presence. And Father, we just ask that you would show each one of us, God, in our lives, God, the areas that we are not creating a holy space for you. God, that we would remove them. God, that we could once again engage in your presence. Father, we thank you for this, and we thank you for the amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, we just ask you would open our eyes to all that you have in store for us. God, as we pursue you wholeheartedly. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.